Let's return to Jeremiah chapter 11. We are in the next few weeks just going to look at some of the highlights of this book. It's a big book. We could spend a year looking at it. There are 52 chapters. But we're just going to spend about 6 weeks just looking at some of the standout points from Jeremiah. However, I'm actually very excited about this because as I'm thinking about it and reading it, I'm realizing more and more how relevant it is to our own day, and also I'm gaining admiration for Jeremiah and learning a lot from him and his approach. He is in chapter 11 at the stage of being what you might call in Free Church terms a young minister in his first charge. He is just beginning his ministry, and he is no doubt, like I was 30 years ago coming here, full of expectation and probably thinking, like many as a young preacher, that when you begin your work you're going to set the heather on fire and your communities are all going to come alive spiritually just because you are the new minister, the new preacher. So how did it go for Jeremiah as he began his ministry? God's call, we saw in chapter 1, to become a prophet to the nations. And in verse 6 here of chapter 11, this is God actually starting him on his preaching ministry. The Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. Well, for us to appreciate what's going on here, I have to start really this morning just doing a very quick review of the history at this point in Jeremiah's life that was going on around him. There was a king called Josiah on the throne of Judah, and he was a good king. He was the best king probably Judah ever had. But his dad, who was Amon, and his grandfather Manasseh had been terrible kings. And they had taken the nation away from worshipping God completely, and they had started the nation really on a path of complete idolatry, worshipping Baal, worshipping Asherah, worshipping the stars. Even in God's own temple, they had idols set up. And the stuff that went alongside the worship was horrible, like they sacrificed their own children to these gods. There was sorcery, there was witchcraft, all sorts of horrible stuff. Josiah became king when he was just 8 years old, and I guess you might expect he would just turn out like his fathers did. But at 16 years old, he had what we might call today a conversion. He had a change of heart. He had a meeting with God. And it says in 2 Chronicles 34, where you can read all about this, he began to seek God. And he was the king, so he had power. And when he reached his 20s, he began to exercise his power as king to try and cleanse the nation of the idolatry that his father and his grandfather had started. So he began to remove the priests, the pagan priests, to destroy their idols and to destroy their shrines. Jeremiah at this time was called to be the prophet, a prophet of God. And at 25 years old, Josiah, in the course of these reforms, turned his attention to the temple. And the temple was kind of neglected and broken down, and he decided to repair the temple and get rid of all the idolatry out of the temple. And in the course of that, they found the book of the law. It's hard for us to imagine how can you lose the Bible? But the book of the law was quite possible at that time the only copy, or one of very few copies, of the books of Moses that were in existence. And the book of the law was brought out from wherever it was found in the temple and read to the king Josiah, and it had a profound effect on Josiah. It says he tore his robes. He was so upset at what the book was saying to him, because the book was saying, all about how to worship God and what would happen if you didn't do that. And he saw that his nation was not worshipping God. And so all the things that the book of the law said would happen if you didn't worship God, famine and drought and exile and the destruction of the nation and all this stuff, he saw all of these things coming. He went to ask the advice of a prophetess by the name of Huldah. What did she think about it? And this is what she said. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people because they've forsaken me and burned incense to other gods. But she said that it wouldn't happen in Josiah's day because he was different. Because he was trying to return to God and he was humbling himself before God. So Josiah led the nation as the figurehead, as the king, to recommit to God, to reconnect with God the way they had connected with God in the time of Moses, to make a covenant, to enter into a fresh agreement with God, that he would be their God as a nation and that they would keep his laws as a people. He also began the feasts again, the celebration of the feasts, especially the Passover, recalling God's deliverance of his people out of Egypt. And for a time, things look like they're really going in the right direction. Like people who really valued the worship of God and who really valued what was in the best interests of the nation of Judah would have been really encouraged, like Jeremiah. Looked like things were turning around. That happens in nations when there is a turning to God. Those who love God, they love it. And we've seen that in our nation of Scotland in the past, where there's a turning to God in a nation. And those who know the true value of the gospel of Jesus Christ delight to see it. So that's the stage we're at in the history. What happens next? Well, after they found the book, Jeremiah was delighted. In chapter 15, verse 16, he says, when your words were found, he says, I ate them, he said. They were the joy and the delight of my heart. This reminded me very much of when I was a young Christian, the Soviet Union came to an end. And in the Soviet Union, the Bible was banned. So Christians that were living in the Soviet Union, often they didn't have actually access to a Bible of their own. And anyone that did have a Bible, it was like an absolute treasure. And they would copy bits of it out by hand and pass it around secretly. But when the Soviet Union fell, and it was possible to go into the Soviet Union and distribute Bibles, then people who loved the Lord received their own Bibles for the first time, and the joy that they exhibited. I remember seeing that. It was absolutely wonderful. They valued the Bible. Jeremiah was like that. He ate, he devoured the words of God. Do you do that? Is God's word to you something that you devour? Do you find life in connecting with God through his word as it speaks to you about Jesus Christ? Because if you do, then you long that for that to be the experience of other people too. And Jeremiah longed for his nation to know God. And he delighted to see the reforms that Josiah was bringing in. To see the shrines and the idols being destroyed and the pagan priests being got rid of. And to see the nation being led into a new covenant, a new commitment to God. And at that point, God sends Jeremiah out on a preaching tour. And that's what we have in verse 6. in the first part of chapter 11. A preaching tour. Proclaim all these words in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem. Listen to the terms of this covenant and follow them. The covenant that Josiah is leading the nation to recommit to, that the nation had originally committed to way back in the days of Moses. A covenant with different terms. So in the first few verses of chapter 11, it tells us, cursed is the man who does not obey the terms of this covenant. But if, as it says in verse 4, obey and do everything I command you, then you will be my people and I'll be your God. And I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey. So Jeremiah goes out as this young preacher on his first job, really, is this preaching tour. And perhaps he expects a great response. Like many a young preacher expects, perhaps, that when he begins preaching, because he sees it all so clearly, it's all very black and white in his mind, everyone else will agree, and everyone else will see clearly, and everyone else will say, yeah, we do need to get rid of these idols, we will turn back to God. So what happened? Well, he came to Anathoth. Anathoth was a village 3 miles from Jerusalem. And Anathoth was where Jeremiah was brought up. It was his hometown. And Anathoth had experienced the reforms of Josiah. We read in 2 Kings 23, for example, that Josiah did away with the idolatrous priests. He appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. So Josiah had got rid of the priests, the shrines, the places of worship, the idols that the people have been worshipping in Judah and Jerusalem. And it had reached Anathoth, Jeremiah's home village. But the thing was, the shrines and the temples and the places of worship of the pagan gods were the very economic driver of these places. The economy circled around these shrines and the activity that took place there. Without going into detail, that's where the money was moving. And so when Josiah got rid of the priests and the shrines, a lot of people found themselves out of jobs. And the economy of these villages suffered greatly. A lot of people resented their self-interest being attacked by Josiah's reforms. So Jeremiah then comes along, the young preacher, to his home village, and you maybe expect him to say, hi folks, you remember me? Well, I've come to just say, you know, Josiah's reforms and how he's got rid of all the priests and the temples and he's calling us back to God. Well, let's really do it. Let's really recommit to this covenant with God. And what did they do, the people of Anathoth? Well, remember when Jesus went to his home village of Nazareth, what did they do to him? We read that they tried to kill him. And that's exactly what they did with Jeremiah. The last few verses of chapter 11 tell us about that. God says in verse 21 about the men of Anathoth who are seeking for your life, Jeremiah. Poor Jeremiah didn't see it coming. Verse 19, he says he was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they had plotted. And it wasn't just like some people he hardly knew. If you turn over to chapter 12 and verse 6, it was his own brothers, his own family had betrayed him and plotted against him. What Jeremiah learned that day was this, that when people's self-interest is threatened by the preaching of God's word, they will react strongly against it. When the word of God threatens self-interest, people react strongly against it. Now you, if you're a faithful Christian, will have experienced that. You may have tried to invite a friend to church. You may have tried to tell a friend about Jesus Christ and got a sharp word in response. And what you realise is, when you were telling them about Jesus, you were coming up against their self-interest. You were coming up against their idols, the things that they worship instead of the true God. The stuff, the pleasures, the material things that they love. And they respond sharply against that. We read in Acts chapter 19 about the preaching of the gospel in Ephesus. Paul preaches the gospel. Lots of people are becoming Christians. But Ephesus is the centre of the worship of the idol Artemis. And the silversmiths make a great deal of money making silver idols of Artemis and selling them. But they find their trade starts going down. Because people aren't wanting to buy idols anymore because they're wanting to worship God through Jesus Christ. And so the silversmiths, we read in Acts 19, they start a riot because their self-interest is being attacked by the gospel. I remember when the Free Church bought the Carinish Inn in North Uist. Carinish Inn was a favoured local watering hole for many people, and it employed several people. So there was a bit of an outcry in the community against the Free Church for buying the pub. So it was no longer going to be a pub, but a church. See, when you attack people's self-interest with the gospel, they will respond strongly against you. So what do we do? What does the church do in the nation of Scotland today? We know that if we preach Jesus, we'll be preaching up against the strongholds of self-interest, the idols of the hearts of the people of Scotland. And they won't like it. So do we keep quiet? That's the temptation. And it can cause Christians who are earnest about this real heart searching. Like, what do? We know the nation needs Jesus. But if we preach Jesus, we get a kickback. We get rejection. So will we keep quiet and just make a religion private? Just enjoy Jesus for ourselves and the salvation and the hope that we have, and leave the rest of Scotland to go to a lost eternity? And that's the problem Jeremiah himself faced. Jeremiah chapter 20, he wrestles it out with God. He says to God in chapter 20, verse 7, "You deceived me, Lord." So he says to God, "You deceived me, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I'll not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior," he says. So Jeremiah decides, even though it brings me rejection, I can't stop speaking about God and the truth. But as time went on, Jeremiah discovered more and more that even though he could see his preaching made sense, and he could see that Josiah's reforms were all well-intentioned and good, the hearts of the people were not changing. A little example of this is, for example, you can read that in chapter 7, before the reforms began, the people were worshipping an idol called the Queen of Heaven. And then along comes Josiah and enforces his reforms on the nation. And Jeremiah's prophesying to the nation, saying, look, if you don't turn away from these idols, God's going to send the Babylonians down to destroy the nation. But the people still cling on to their idols. And as a result, after Josiah dies, they return back to their idols. God does send the Babylonians in, destroys Jerusalem, destroys Judah. And Jeremiah's living through all of this, and he's preaching all. And now you can see that all that he preached has come true. And some of the people, to get away from the trouble, they flee down to Egypt, and they kidnap Jeremiah, and they take him to Egypt with them. And what happens in Egypt? You know, Jeremiah is saying to them, look, I told you this would happen. I said, if you worship idols and not the true God, God's going to send the Babylonians against us and destroy us. It's all happened. So turn back to God and it'll be fine. But what do? We read in chapter 44. No, they says, we'll keep on worshipping the Queen of Heaven. That was after 30 years. Their hearts were still clinging on to their idols. So just to close up, what did Jeremiah learn through all of this? And what can we learn? Well, number one, don't be naive about human nature. I've learned this in my ministry in many, many ways. And it's been quite hard because you kind of think when you preach Jesus and you can see it so clearly, everyone else will see it clearly. And what we learn about the human heart is it's not rational. You can preach to people about the coming judgment of God. You preach to people about Jesus dying for their sins and how if they turn to him, they can know peace with God. And it all makes perfect sense. And people even nod and say, yeah, that's all right. And then they'll carry on in their own ways and their own sins. And what Jeremiah eventually concluded, we read this in chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Human heart. The next thing Jeremiah had to learn then was only God can change the heart. Josiah didn't change the hearts of his people. He was a king, he had the army, he used his power to get rid of the idols. He enforced the worship of the true and living God. But you can't coerce people into wanting to worship the living God. You can't do that. You can't force people to become Christians. Sometimes the church has had military power and it's used the power of the sword, as it were, to actually try and turn people to God. That doesn't work. That's horrible. The Inquisition and so on. That's absolutely horrendous. Jeremiah realized that after a time. It wasn't actually so great what Josiah did. Because he enforced something. The worship of the true God. He enforced it. But the hearts of the people were still just as bad. And he said these famous words, Jeremiah. Can a leopard change its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. He learned only God can change the heart. In Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah looks forward to another covenant. Not the one that's failed. The covenant that Josiah's enforced on the people. The covenant that says, keep the law of God, and know the blessing of God. Because the people aren't keeping the law of God. It's not in their hearts. But there's a covenant coming, says Jeremiah in chapter 31 and at verse 31. A new covenant. In which God says, I will put my law in their minds. And write it on their hearts. Jeremiah didn't live to see that new covenant. But we do. It's the covenant that Jesus Christ brought. Remember at the Lord's Supper, first one he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus Christ came and began a new way for people to relate to God. Through him and what he has done for us. And through the power of his Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts and who changes our hearts. God can change the heart. Josiah didn't change the heart. Coercive force didn't change the heart. The reforms didn't touch the hearts of the people. Don't try to just clean up your act before God and think that'll do. It's the heart that's the problem. It's your heart that needs to change, and mine. And only God can do that. So we need to come to him through Jesus Christ and receive new hearts. And then he will be our God, and we will be his people. And then we will know his blessing as individuals, as communities, and as a nation as well. God can do that. A few generations back in the Highlands, they were all worshipping idols. Our ancestors. Where are the idols today? I mean, where are the shrines and where are the false gods? What happened was, people like Jeremiah went out preaching, not the old covenant that Jeremiah was preaching. You better keep the law of God or trouble's coming. But the new covenant. The new covenant that changes hearts. They went out preaching Jesus. And all over the Highlands, the gospel was brought by missionary preachers. And all over the Highlands, people responded. There was what we would call a religious revival. And they got rid of the idols. Not by coercion, but because their hearts were changed. God can do that for our nation today. He can do it for you and for me as well. And that's something we need to seek him to do. And we need not to keep quiet. But like Jeremiah, even though it's hard, and even though there's rejection, we need to keep speaking the gospel of Jesus. Because it is the only hope of the individuals in our nation today. Amen.